What is up, team? Welcome back to the Red Storm Rapid Reaction Podcast. I'm Pat Payne, and St. John's just blew the doors off of Sacred Heart at Carnesecca Arena, 85-50, an easy go-ahead win. One more step along the way till we get to conference play. I think getting better along the way. Cole, what says you? How do you feel about this win?
Oh, it's always good to beat the pants off of a team like Sacred Heart in front of a sold-out crowd. Before we talk about Sacred Heart, Pat, remind me, we were in the building to watch Holy Cross. Who was our player of the game that we chose for the Holy Cross game?
Cool. RJ Lewis.
And what happened to RJ following that game?
He has a strict clause in his contract that says he only wants to play in front of me, Cole, whenever I'm in attendance.
So all of our Red Storm Rapid Reaction podcast listeners can know that the jinx is back from Pat, that the ban is back on. He's no longer
I do alive. Not agree. I do not agree. I need to plead my case. This injury, this incident, this happened away from the game. I mean, please, RJ, please don't come looking for me. Mrs. Lewis, please don't come looking for me. All right. We need you back, RJ.
Yeah, but awesome to see the team perform that well. You and I were talking offline, and it seems like after these last couple of games, the team's like really starting to round together, and Rick Pitino's vision is starting to become clear, and seeing the team play so well and as one cohesive unit is awesome. So,
yeah, I think it's a really good sign to see these, you know, cupcake games be taken so seriously. Starters playing, you know, serious basketball, purposeful basketball late into the game. Pressing late into the game and trying to get as much out of it as you can. And as Jay Wright alluded to, you know, like there's certain things you're working on in games like this, and you could see Rick was really trying to hammer home some of those points. And you can see guys like Soriano who, I mean, if there was any room to grow, I wasn't sure if we'd see it. And it seems like he's a brand new player to me. Like offensively, the way he's letting the game come to him, his calmness in the post, he's not rushing anything. He's gathering himself and just seems like he knows he can take his time in there and get where he needs to go. And it's awesome. And if he can keep that up against Big East level bigs, we've got ourselves a cornerstone stalwart right in the middle who can, you know, lead us against the best of the group.
Yeah, 18 points, 13 rebounds, 7 of those rebounds being offensive. Between him and Chris Ledlam, like what a force between the two of them at getting on the offensive glass. I've never seen players just attack rebounds the way the two of them have been doing. So
you left out
19 offensive rebounds as a team tonight. I mean, tremendous.
Glass eaters. And you left out my favorite part about Joel's stat line today. 6 assists. He was really spreading the ball around. He had one beautiful bounce pass early to, I think it was Danis, and then he had a bunch just outside the post to get passes to the weak side. And you're going to garner a bunch of attention if you're Joel Soriano in the middle. And if you're able to, you know, disperse the ball outside to your weapons on the perimeter, you're just going to help both yourself inside and your teammates get easy looks. And if he can continue to be a passer out of the post, the sky is truly the limit.
Yeah, tremendous job passing by him today. How about just the team in general sharing the ball? 27 yeah. made field goals with 21 assists. I mean, yeah. That's the coach Pat has to absolutely love that.
Sharing the sugar out there, Cole. Shout outs to Stevie Lavin up there still watching us over here, Bobblehead City. I'm just going to talk about Danis again for a second. You know, such a up and down guy early in this season and infuriating at times. Jay Wright really was in his corner tonight as a big fan, and the talent of his passing ability is crazy. He had some passes tonight that were just top-notch, elite-level stuff, but then he'll go ahead and they'll take a boneheaded shot or force some action that makes you wonder, how could you look so brilliantly for stretches and then, you know, not so brilliant in others. But part of the growing process. He's talented as all hell. I do truly believe that, but there are times where it makes you want to, you know, pull whatever hair I have out left and left out, whatever. He had another good game. Dingle had a good game. Dingle's really crafty around the basket. He's getting more comfortable looking to scoring. And like you said, Ledlam's a beast on his offensive boards.
Yeah, great game from Jordan Dingle. I really thought we saw him sort of emerge a little more as the scorer that we know he is and that we know he will be for Rick Pitino. 7 for 11 shooting from him. All four of his misses were from three, 3 of 7 from three. So for all of the struggles that we've had all season as a team finishing around the rim, Jordan Dingle had a tremendous game today attacking the rim, finishing at the cup. So.
Yep. And then Wilcher looked pretty good at the end, looked more aggressive offensively than we've seen him. You could tell he was a little excited to get out there and showcase the bunnies on a breakaway dunk. Still continues to be, you know, just a menace on the defensive end in terms of trying to put on ball pressure. Naheem Aline, again, good contributions from him. Had a beautiful break pass where he kind of led the break off a steal in the backcourt. It wasn't a true break, but led the break and found, I think it was Brady in the corner for a three, and it was a beautiful pass right on target, and Brady hit that shot. Brady, first guy in again today, made some good plays happen, got on the floor, was scrappy, hit a three. Looks like he's a fighter out there. Looks like he's not going to just go quietly into the dark, and that's good to see.
It's good to see the freshmen growing, getting more minutes, growing, and they'll be relied on to be major contributors next year. So awesome to see that continuing to
grow. As Jay Wright put it, the heir apparent to the point guard position. Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead and pull up the stat sheet for tonight. 85-50. This was a blowout early, and, you know, like I said, in years past, I wasn't sure how much we'd get out of games like this, but it was good to see. You know, we were sticking to the game plan, doing things when we were up 25 points late, the same way we were doing them when we were up 5 points early. And that's the way you got to treat these games, in my opinion. Up top, Joel, player of the game. I mean, if it wasn't for RJ Lewis last week, I think Joel has had about 5 or 6 of these out of the early season games, and he's just been a beast all around. 18 points, 13 rebounds, 7 offensive on the glass, 6 assists, and 2 blocks. Again, shoving it right in Cole's face, who says he can't defend the paint. Way to go, Joel. Jenkins had 13 points, 7 rebounds, only 4 assists. I swear, all 4 of those assists were beautiful passes. 2 turnovers, 24 minutes. Dingle, 17 points and 11 shots. He'll take that efficiency every night. Ledlam again early, missed some shots inside, but he kept battling, contributed in other areas. Still getting back from, you know, that sickness he had. To me, you could really see the, you know, how many. The weight he lost, I feel like it's noticeable out there in the court. And then Soriano, a beast. Taylor, again, doing things other than scoring that made a difference. Had a beautiful pass to Soriano in the second half that Soriano was able to gather and finish on the other side of the rim. Jay Wright was left talking about that for a couple minutes straight. 3 assists for Taylor, always contributing with good passes, rebounds, and defense. You know I love that. And then how about we saw Ayo get in tonight. A lot of talk that he might redshirt and got in late, so I don't know what the exact rule is on that this day and age, but I feel like, you know, if you're playing him in a game this far into December, you know, he's not going to be a redshirt. So
I think it's 4 games played on the season if they appear in over 4 games. And I know didn't he appear in a few of the games early in the season? So, I mean, he might be fastly approaching that. And
that's regardless of
– like how you said, for him to play in a game this late in the season, to me, kind of reads that the red shirt isn't going to happen. So,
right. Interesting. And I feel like that 4-game limit is with injuries. At least I thought there was an injury thing where you couldn't just pull a kid. But, hey, I'm not an expert there. No way, no how. Conway, 3 points. I'm sorry, 0 points. I mean, Conway did score after this my box score here, I was just telling Cole, it froze with 4 minutes left. I don't have the last 4 minutes of stats on here. Don't blame me, but Conway did score late. Zuby had a dunk late. Wilcher had that dunk late as well. Overall, St. John's completely dominated a lesser Sacred Heart team. And we move forward. Boston College will be Sunday night's game, an ACC opponent at the Barclays Arena. So Barclays Center. Is it arena or center? Barclays Center.
Just thinking the same thing when you said it.
Neither sounds right.
It's not as bad as of a game as originally thought when scheduled preseason. So, I mean, I think it's still, like you said, it's still a Power 5 win if we can get it. It's still a potential resume booster. So, you know, another important game.
And you just can't have losses. You know, you can't have these – losses in the out of conference slate, and we don't have any big wins. The next best thing to do is avoid any losses. So, taking care of business. I think it counts as a neutral court game, so it might be a little benefit of a boost towards your our net when the things get wrapped up at the end of the season. I'm not going to pretend to know anything about Boston College roster because I don't, but you know, they have performed better so far as to what the computers had them as going into the season. So we'll see Sunday how that goes. Your thoughts on the West Virginia game, Cole? Anything come to mind? I know we didn't get a chance to do a reaction there. Apologize again, folks. My schedule is pretty hectic right now, but we're doing what we can here.
Coach Pat, keep coaching up those high school kids. He's a good busy man. And he still makes time for us to rapid react with us. But I thought another thing just about tonight that I thought we really saw that was kind of different than anything we've seen in any of the games before was we saw pressing with the purpose of turning Sacred Heart over. And it was the first real time that we've seen a lot of turnovers caused from the press. I don't think Sacred Heart could really handle that. But we saw obviously a lot of pressing as well in the West Virginia game. But I think that was more purposeful with the intent of they only had 7 scholarship players. Let's tire these guys out. And you could really see West Virginia run into a wall there towards the end of the game when meanwhile us, like such a deep team, I think really used that to our advantage. And you know, whether how well West Virginia does in the Big 12 this year, whether or not they're really like a top of the line win, it's still an out of conference win on the road. I think that it was a game we had to have for our resume going into Big East play. I think if we can escape the rest of our out of conference and only have 2 losses, if you would have told either of us, hey, you know, you guys are to a 2-loss team and you're out of conference slate, we would have signed up for that in a heartbeat. Yeah. So I thought the West Virginia win was big to have and put in our back pocket. And just no matter how ugly it was at times, it's like, hey, let's just get out of here, get out of Morgantown with the W and be happy. So
I agree. And I think if we took a poll about just in a blank slate, what our record would be at a conference, I think 9-2 would have been the most commonly selected answer. Mm-hmm. How we got there might not have been the direct path most would have thought, but you know, we still got to get there. Let's not count our chickens either. But yeah, you win at West Virginia. We've actually won 3 games straight against West Virginia now, which we've got some streaks against these old Big East foes, Syracuse, West Virginia. We waited for those guys to get out of town before we started taking their number. But there's not going to be, you know, some really good Big 12 teams that walk out of there with a win this season. There's going to be a few that get knocked out. You know, the Big 12 is chock full of great teams, and West Virginia is going to have their fair share of games at home, and I'm sure they're going to get their, you know, their handful of upsets. So if we would have lost, it wouldn't have been the most unexpected thing in the world. I think winning close games like that, regardless of the opponent, you know, take out whether it's mid-major or high-major, but regardless of how good of a high-major team you're playing, on the road in an environment like that, an obvious situation where that coach is, you know, really coaching to prove himself, a lot's on the line for him. It's just an environment that's hard to replicate. You know, you can't just go that, get that atmosphere in a lot of these preseason tournaments or against a mid-major team on your home court. So to see that now could pay dividends for a Big East schedule we all know will be daunting. And how we were talking beforehand, I forget the coach's name now. I apologize. But looks like a Mountaineer. It's like they went out and found a guy who would look the most like the mascot himself when they said, put that guy in the sideline. Man, and he's got a tall task ahead of him. You know, there's nobody that really gives these guys time, and he's already against the eight ball seemingly when Huggins was the guy who, you know, brought him along, and then it was going to be a successor, and all of a sudden Huggy's like, hey, let me back in the door. I never actually quit. Who is this jabroni? And it's like, thanks Huggs for the soft welcome in there.
Going to be tough for him to get rid of the interim tag for sure.
Yeah, well, I don't know if he has the tag or not, but it's going to be tough for him to last if it doesn't go well, you know, regardless. Mm-hmm. Teams don't wait around. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add, Cole?
No, man, just, you know, at the end of the day, I still pinch myself every time I see Rick Pitino on the sidelines coaching St. John's. It's just so fun to see. I think it was one of Simeon's early assists. He made a great pass to Drissa Traore for a 3. And I thought Jay Wright was great on the call today, but he did a really good job of showing on the replay the actual action on that play where I think it was Soriano was in the game or Zuby had set the original screen for Simeon to get Simeon loose. Simeon had gotten into the paint. And then Drissa had come up from the low post when Zuby or Soriano rolled to the basket, and to see like that type of set action to open up Drissa for a wide open three, like to see Jay Wright explain it,
yeah,
to have St. John's like running real true action like that. Well, to Mike Anderson just rolling the ball out and letting five guys go like run around and try to jack up shots and out athleticize other teams. Like it's cool to see, as basketball purists like you and I are, like it's cool to see a real master. Yeah,
I know you got a soft spot for your Philly guys down there, even though Jay Wright's a New York guy at heart, but yeah, he wrote the book practically on the four man out pick and roll exchange offense there. So that was probably something he was really used to seeing. And as he called Rick Pitino buddy after the game, might have even shared some, film exchanges back in the day, or some coaching tips. But yeah, I thought Jay did a good job, regardless of how smooth he comes across, because it takes time to be a natural behind the camera. Just his insight is valuable in its own sense, and I really appreciated that. But yeah, St. John's gets another win. Boston College on Sunday. We'll be back live that night. Well, not live watching, but that night we'll be doing a rapid reaction podcast. We'll get it to your feed that night. Appreciate you guys sticking with us through these tough, trying times. We'll get better. St. John's will get better, and we got a heck of a season ahead of us. For Brian Mahoney, this has been Pat Kane. That's Cole Latshaw, the Red Storm Rapid Reaction Podcast. Peace.